Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
This is Mike Kegley, and welcome to Eye on the Illini. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit of assistant coaching. We're going to talk a little bit about Kofi Coburn. We're also going to talk about some recruiting that's going on right now. And I've got the man that we need to have when we talk about recruiting. Kedrick Prince, Director of Recruiting for Illini Guys, is here, along with Connor Kegley, who does many of our game previews and also some player evaluations in terms of prospects. So, Ked, we got a full boat of things to talk about today. Anything that you can share on the mysterious, top-secret assistant coach search?
All right. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, guys, and it's good to be back. I like to say I'm pretty well-connected. And I went through some of the deepest sources ever. I mean, I went to the phone book and I'm like on my phone trying to call guys like, look, give me something. It's the best kept secret in the country. Nobody is saying anything. I think the one person who knows for sure is Brad Underwood. I don't think there's a person. I don't even think Josh Whitman has an idea. I really don't. Because Brad has done such a great job of keeping this a secret to where a lot of people don't know. And I guess it makes sense to me because if you think about it, these are rumors. Every coach that he allegedly offered the job to, the schools made a counter offer and offered more money. So maybe that's why he's not saying anything. I don't know. But then, we talked before the show, you guys talked about maybe he has an idea or he's interviewed X amount of coaches. So it's out there and it's an attractive job. I mean, I think people sometimes they're panicking because they don't have somebody right now, even though June's coming around the corner. But you can rest assured he's going to have the right guy on staff. But I know right now the recruiting season's coming up and it'd be nice to have another guy on staff to have your staff set.
Yeah. And coming off of the weirdest year in the history of college recruiting, because they haven't seen these kids, they haven't had contact with these kids, that third body would be important. I guess I'm naive enough to figure that Coach Underwood's built a staff that could earn a number one seed to the NCAA. He's already done that, so I'm confident he can do it again. But I would say that while I don't know what assistant coach does what and who's better than this guy or that guy. So I trust that he'll be able to pick the right person. But I do agree that now that we have June right around the corner, players are getting ready to come back and they're setting up visits. That's when you do want to have that third coach around. And so I'm not worried he's going to select the right guy. But I do think that as the calendar, you rip off the days off the calendar, I wouldn't mind to see somebody here sooner rather than later.
Yeah, again, I'd have to agree with that, you guys. Just like we said before, to build relationships, Chester Frazier's doing a great job, and Jeff Alexander just got hired, even though I think that he was granted a waiver so he could do some things behind the scenes, and I think he's playing catch-up, and he's already been on staff, so imagine the next guy. The one unique thing is if they hire somebody else, I guess, kind of like when Chester, came along, if they're recruiting, they're going to bring a different group of kids that maybe Illinois hasn't talked to yet. So there's going to be a positive sign to that, especially if this coach has a relationship with these kids.
Yeah, totally agree. And I know Connor has tracked who has, been connected with which coach. I will say that it was reassuring last week at a big tournament down here, the Lone Star Invitational, a New York to LA production. It was really nice to see some AAU coaches coming up to me and talking about what a great person Chester Frazier is, that I thought was reassuring. And certainly we'll just have to see who the next person that Coach Underwood is going to select is going to be. And I guess we're just going to hold on and just have to see what time shows us, which is going to be the narrative that weaves its way through this podcast. As we go to the next subject, we're going to talk about Kofi Coburn, and Connor actually had a close encounter with Kofi just yesterday down here in Dallas.
Yeah, I was actually doing a PT at the Star, which is a very large facility down here in Dallas. And it seems that he's probably prepping for the draft here with a personal trainer. And my goodness, is he a large individual. And you notice him when he's standing in a crowd. He was sitting down at the time, and I just happened to see his Illinois shorts and took a second glance over. And as he lifted his head up a little bit, I could just tell that is the man right there. And I cannot wait to see what he can do at the next level. And obviously things aren't final with him, but if he does come back to Illinois next year, that is a front runner for the National Player of the Year right there.
Oh, you know, without a doubt, him and Drew Timmy both, I think both of those guys will be front runners. I think the one advantage Kofi would have over him is that Kofi was a unanimous second team by every publication that came out with an All-American team. And for the fans that, if you've never seen Kofi in person, TV does him no justice. He is a big, big guy. I remember going down to Champaign and just watching him and shaking his hand. His hands, I'm not a small guy either, and his hands just gobble my hands up and swallow them. He's a big, big guy. And I remember when he came to Illinois, you know, the rumor was he was staying 2 years. That was the plan. His plan was to stay 2 years, and his plan was to get better and to make leaps and bounds between his freshman and sophomore year. And we can all overanalyze. I'm not a fan of overanalyzing kids. I mean, I'm sure people can tell that. But to say he has not improved, you're kidding yourself. When he was a freshman, guys, all he could do was dunk. He could dunk and he could rebound. You know, and this year, I saw this big specimen make post moves and do things that I didn't think he could ever do. You know, whether he did it on his own, whether it was Orlando who taught him that, he has gotten better, and people can say he hasn't. I did talk to an NBA scout today, and this is no lie, this is a true story. The comment he made to me was, Kedrick, how much better is he really going to get? And we talked earlier on the show about his age, because the thing that they're concerned about is that he's 22 to 23 years old. And in the NBA, if you guys look at the drafts, you know, Connor, I know you spent a lot of time with that part of evaluating it. A lot of times, they don't like to draft guys that are older. They'll draft a guy that's 18, 19 years old. And you think about that with him, how old he is. The comment that was also made to me was, him being so big, how will his knees hold up in the NBA? Because it's a rigorous schedule. And I'm one who thinks different. I think there's a spot for him in the NBA. I don't care if he can shoot a 15-foot jump shot or a 3-point jump shot. I like the fact that I think he's strong enough. He will give some team an inside presence. He will be able to rebound. That stuff still matters in the NBA. You know, if I had one concern, it would be him being able to guard on the perimeter laterally. I don't know how well he can do that, but I definitely think there's a spot for him. He's athletic enough to where he can stick around in the league if he gets drafted.
Oh, without a doubt, I'm 100% with you. He might not be the a guy that's playing you 40 minutes at the next level or even 30, but he should be able to get you 20 to 25. And
yep.
There is teams that need guys like him. I mean, the Lakers were playing lineups in their playoff game where they have Andre Drummond and Anthony Davis. You need to have a big body that can get on those guys in the post. And his foot speed is not the level of, he isn't some flat-footed big. He's able to
get move. He can move.
He showed that against Luka Garza, where he pretty much said, go around me if you can. You won't be able to do it from there. And that's the National Player of the Year right there. And he took that matchup pretty well. And I think that while it's obviously going to be a step up playing against centers on a regular basis, I think that there's plenty of players that develop between their third and fourth year, let alone four. There's guys that are still, Julius Randle is like 25 or 26 years old, and he had it. He added a ton to his game this year. I mean, they're saying that Kofi is not going to be able to develop more things into his game is just, in my opinion, that's just short-sighted. And sure, I think there's guys like, I think there's teams like Brooklyn. I would take him if I was the Mavericks, if you have Porzingis at the four and play four out with him in the middle and just have him be rebounding all your missed threes.
I laugh because the scout that I talked to was from Dallas. And I will tell you this. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I thought until the last game against Iowa, Luka Garza was 10 times better than Kofi. People can talk about what happened in Iowa City. You could talk about the last block shot in Champaign his freshman year. But if you look at the statistics, Luka Garza outplayed him every game. The last game in the Big Ten tournament was when I saw Kofi grow up. He dominated. I mean, he owned Luka Garza. I knew then, I'm like, this guy has it. He's figured it out. Because, like I said, I remember being in Iowa City his freshman year, sitting there, and the way the press box is in Iowa City is really, really close. And I went down on the floor, and I'm going to tell you, Kofi took Luka away, you know, from his post move. Then Luka went outside and shot threes. And then Kofi couldn't make a post move to save his life his freshman year. But this year, people have the access to go back to watch the way he dominated. Luka backed away. That's why I agree with both of you. There's a shot for him in the NBA. A lot of it is, I think it's luck. I think if you get to the right team, why would you not think about it, guys? There's no Kofis out there. Why would you not? You tell me there's not a Kofi in college basketball. Every game that was played, he was, even though Iowa was the man, Kofi got all the recognition because there was none out there, and he was a hard matchup. And I think if you get to the right NBA team and somebody to work with him, he can give somebody some minutes. I agree with you.
Yeah, and I think in the end, Kofi and his family or his advisors, those people around him, have proven that they can make the mature decision. Because they last year they looked at the facts and they said, we're going to keep him in for one more year. I'm not saying what he's going to do. I can find good reasons for him to stay in college. I can find good reasons for him to go pro. And I just trust that his advisors, having made a good decision last year, are probably going to take a look at information and make a good decision this year. Bruce Douglas last night mentioned that or in our last podcast, he mentioned, you know, that is there enough talent at the college level to push Kofi to develop new things? And he goes, that's an important part of developing, because if you can get away with bad habits and still be successful, that's not good for you either. So, to close the book on Kofi, as frustrating as it is, this line goes through is we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. I really enjoyed his 2 years here at University of Illinois. If it's over, I'm going to turn on the games that he's playing in the NBA, because we have the NBA ticket or whatever it's called, a league pass or whatever. And we're going to basically watch Kofi. And I'm going to wish him all the best in the world. And certainly I never miss an Illini game. And if he's going to be back next year, then I'll never miss an Illini game next year either. So,
you know what? I'm not an NBA guy. The only time I watch NBA, when I was younger, I could tell you every player on every roster and every team. The only time I watch an NBA game right now is if an Illinois player is playing in it. Like yep. When Myers Leonard was playing and Kendrick Nunn. When Darren Williams played, I didn't miss a game. And if Iowa plays, even if it's a team that I didn't like, I'm not a fan of, I'm going to watch just because they played at Illinois. So that's how I am. The game has changed so much for me. And I guess the reason I don't like it, and I don't want to get off task here, the NBA to me is about contracts. It's a numbers game. we had a kid named Chasen Randall who was player of the year in his senior in high school, and he's been an NBA journeyman. And I talked to him, he's from Rock Island. I talked to him last summer. I'm like, when you get in these contracts, you prove yourself. Why can't you stick? And here's what he said to me. Kedrick, it's a business. If I go out there and if I outplay Connor, doesn't mean anything. If Connor has a guaranteed contract, they're not going to keep me. They're going to let me go. Even though he may be the better player. I don't like that because I think that's wrong because – you have guys out there like Kendrick Nunn was lucky enough, he got a second chance. Chasen Randall has obviously proven himself that he can play in the league, but if he gets on the wrong team, he's screwed. Brandon Paul a couple years ago had a great run with Dallas. I mean, I saw a couple of articles about him, but it became down to contracts in the end, and that's why I'm not a fan of it.
That is the ultimate reason that Kofi needs to be really smart about this decision, because if you do go in the second round, that guarantee – deed contract, that's not going to be there. So unless you get to a team that does do that, there's a couple players in the second round that did get guaranteed contracts, but once you're out of the first round, you don't, that's not a part of the deal. And that's something that he needs to look at.
First round, I don't see him anywhere on any draft boards in the first round at all.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's reasons to think that he might decide to come back again. I want to see him play in the NBA for a long time. My personal opinion is if the name, image, likeness stuff comes through, it might be financially better in the short run to be a college basketball player of legendary status, which is what he will be next year. And, you know, that will also help him build his skills for the future. But it's easy for me to make a decision for somebody else. So let's move along to some recruits. We wanted to share a little bit last week, and I had an opportunity to see two point guards that I think would be very beneficial for Illinois to chase. One is Anthony Black, 6'7" point guard. These are all 2022s. But Black is a player who is a throwback player, 6'7", he's a point guard, has a nice three-point shot, but that kid is a winner. He reminded me of Io in the fact that he did what needs to be done to win. If he needed to guard a power forward, he would guard a power forward. If he had to come out on a point guard, he'd come out on a point guard. His team needed an assist, somehow he would be the guy who got it. If his team needed a rebound, that was him too. It was very interesting, you know, reportedly the 24/7 guru for Baylor has said that Scott Drew doesn't think he has a good enough three-point shot to be a Baylor guard. I'm telling you, I watched him hit it over some very, very tough competition. This kid is a player and he knows what it takes to win. And the really interesting thing that he told me was a couple things came out. One was he loved Illinois' style of play because to be successful in the NBA, you had to be good at a style similar to Illinois. And that's what he wants to do. And the other thing that he talked about was that his dad's side of the family is from Milwaukee, and he thought it would be totally cool to be that close to that side of his family. So, Connor, you've done quite a bit of watching tape on him. What did you think of Anthony Black?
He is rated in the, I believe, 80 in the most recent Rivals update, which was this morning, and that is about 50 spots too low at the minimum. This is a five-star, and this is a dude who, frankly, is just, I don't really understand what they're seeing with him, and he's going to be recruited. I think the Blue Bloods are going to come calling if he doesn't make a decision on his recruiting soon. And I think that anybody that thinks they can get in on his recruitment, including Illinois, needs to make him a priority. This is the type of guy that you show up with two to three coaches to his AAU whenever the live period starts again. This is a kid that is going to be potential one and done, but if he's not, he's going to be a guy like Io that gets you 2 to 3 really good years of college that can pretty much get you to a one seed if you have talent around him. He is just, he's a winner. He's going to have the ball handling. He knows how to leverage people in the post. He watches people and he wants to get better every single day. And that's just, it's not something that every player has. And he's just, he's a guy that I really hope Illinois can make some ground up on.
Have you seen him much, kid?
When we talked earlier about him, you know, I got feedback. When Illinois offers some of these kids a scholarship, just so the fans know, Illinois has offered Anthony Black a scholarship. There's hard offers, there's medium offers, and soft offers. And I can tell you right now, he is extremely high on their priority list. Chester Frazier was recruiting him when he was at Virginia Tech. He is a kid that Illinois really wants, and they're going to go full throttle with him. He's from Coppell, Texas, and we talked earlier about him and his family with Baylor. You know whether that's true or not that they lead. I mean, the one comment when I did talk to him, because it wasn't a lot of conversation with him, was that he is still wide open. Like all kids, he wants to play in the NBA. But Connor, you talked about like him being just outstanding player. Here's the thing that I've learned over the years from going and evaluating these kids. One of the tools that I like to use more than a star ranking is who's recruiting these kids. For example, you've got Baylor, you have Illinois, you have Oklahoma State, you have North Carolina State, you have Texas. So there are some good schools recruiting him, and the more he plays, his stock is going to rise. Kind of like what Illinois did with A.J. Storr. They were able to get him to commit early because they knew what was going to happen. So he is a high priority to them. You know, Illinois, for the fans out there, again, that are listening, every one of these kids that they make an offer to, I don't want to say that they're gung-ho about taking these kids, but it's a good PR move. It's nice to have your name listed with some of these kids. But this kid is one that they want for sure. I can assure you that.
Yeah, he was by far the best player that I saw in that tournament. One of the other guys we're going to talk about here from actually up at Phenom U, so one of Podzinski's running mates, so to speak, is Seth Trimble, point guard. And I'm telling you, he was like watching Jalen Brunson because he is physically he's not a thin guy. He's thicker. Looks like he's worked out with the weights. But he is a Jalen Brunson, but quicker than Jalen was. And when I talked to him, it was very interesting what he said, because he's obviously, we keep hearing, you know, that he's really looking forward to Michigan. His brother played at UNC. He made a couple interesting comments, and he was one of the most mature young men that I had the pleasure of talking to. And he made a comment that, you know, I used to have a favorite team when I was younger and just a kid. Kind of funny when you think about his age saying just a kid. But he said, but now I need to look for the place that's going to be the best fit for me, have the best roster, good coaching. And he also talked about, you know, playing time where he can make a difference. So when you look at what Michigan has, Connor can go into more detail, but Michigan's going to have some players at that position. UNC, I don't know how good a coach Coach Davis is going to be there. I mean, it's still to be seen. Maybe he'll be great. Who knows? People were hopeful Matt Doherty was going to be good, and that didn't work out. And so I think Illinois may have a real opportunity with him, because he mentioned, just like Mr. Black did, that the style of ball that Illinois played was a style of ball that would be fun to play, and it translated well to the NBA. But Connor, you had some thoughts on Trimble, and you also had some thoughts on Michigan's roster spots at that position.
Yeah, so looking at Michigan's roster moving forward, even past this year, they will be graduating. Eli Brooks will be not a part of their backcourt after this year. But other than that, they're going to be losing, or they're going to have Zeb Jackson, who is a top 75 recruit within the 2020 class. And then they will be getting two recruits this year in Kobe Bufkin and Frankie Collins. Both of those players are anywhere from about 30 to about 60, depending on the site. And then you have a transfer guard in Devontae Jones. And that puts you at, you know, that's four players that are going to be getting a lot of minutes at the one and the two. And that's not including who else they're recruiting for this class. Another player in this class that is considered to be a shooting guard is also Juwan Howard's son is in this recruiting class, and he plays down there at IMG. And so that puts you at five guards that are going to be within their one and two position on the court. So when I look at that, it's just Illinois has a lot more minutes that are going to be available at the one and the two when you're graduating Plummer and Frazier this year, and Curbelo is getting looked at by the NBA potentially. It's just, if there's not unexpected people leaving through transfer or somehow making it to the NBA, which there's one of them that I think may or may not, depending on what the NBA thinks of him and how his skills translate to the next level. But other than that, they're just, there's more opportunity available at Illinois playing time wise.
And I know you've seen Seth. So what are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, I was good to hear you guys mention Michigan, because that was a school where that I know they pursued him really hard. We have to give Juwan Howard credit, but no, I don't care how good you are, whether it's Duke or North Carolina, Kentucky or Kansas, kids like that aren't going to go to schools and sit. And one advantage that Illinois has is Brandon has talked to him before. He really has, about Illinois and what it has to offer. I can tell you what, to tell you how important this kid is to the University of Illinois, when I told you guys earlier, there's a certain group of kids that they really want. I can tell you right now that all three coaches, Brad Underwood, Chin Coleman, and Orlando, all were recruiting him, all three of them. And that's how important this kid is to them and how good he is. You're right. The playing time is going to be there for him. And kids right there aren't going to sit. You don't get to go and recruit four and five-star recruits like that. Even though he's a four-star, he's a must-get. And I'm going to tell you, he's another kid that Illinois is really interested in. You're right, he's a do-it-all point guard. He's big and he's strong. And the thing that Illinois really, really likes about him the most is he's a winner. If you look at all the kids that Brad Underwood he's recruited, they're winners. They're guys that are tough. You know, you mentioned Anthony Black, who would go out and who would do it all. Brad Underwood, we can get mad, people getting frustrated. He's going to get the kids that fit his program and kids who want to be there. Look at every kid that's on the roster right now and the kids that they're bringing in. They're mentally tough kids and kids that aren't one-dimensional. Everybody that we mentioned on all these lists, shooting is not going to be a problem for them. So I think, honestly, I think they have a good shot at him. But what's going to happen now, they're going to have all the coaches get involved. This isn't going to be, you know, where it's Chester or if it's Jeff or Brad. I think they'll all have to get involved. And he's from the Midwest, which is nice. And Illinois is an attractive school right now. So I like the chances with him as well. But again, you know, you also have to remember you got Reggie Bass there. And even though it's not guard heavy, and if Curbelo leaves the NBA, I can tell you this. I've heard this from a lot of people. If that kid shoots 35% from the three-point line and play the way he played last year, he is gone. And he is definitely going to be a first-round draft pick. That kid has made a name for himself, and he is the face of that program. So there's going to be some guard time there for him. And if you look at the video footage and things that I've heard, he has worked his tail off from behind that three-point line.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we talk about tough players – another one there with Phenom U is Danilo Jovanovic. He's a 6'8" forward. Very nice moves in the open court. Has a sweet jumper, and is another one of those kids that's an Underwood style player. Because I mean, he hustles from the bench up to the scorer's table to check into a game. The guy is a perpetual motion. He's always going towards the basketball, was involved in a lot of rebounds, particularly the second effort rebounds, and is a guy who was on the floor diving for loose balls. A solid player, was definitely one that I thought was, you know, him and Trimble They're just tough dudes who don't like to lose. And anybody who's warming up at the other end of the court has to look at those two and say, it's going to be a long game. And if you're going to beat Phenom U, those two are going to fight till the very end. And it's not going to be an easy victory.
I've not had a chance to see a lot of him play yet. I mean, I know I'm going to have to watch video footage of him I've heard the name, but I've not heard a lot about him. So I don't want to give the speculation on him as a player, at least just yet. I mean, the other kids, I've seen real game footage and not just highlight footage. So this one I'm going to have to pass on.
Now, another 2022 that was there playing for Mean Streets was AJ Casey. This kid is one of the nicer guys, was kind enough to take some time after the last game of the tournament when the team and his family are trying to get out the door to talk to me. And the interesting thing it was kind of a mystery all weekend, but here you got a guy who's ranked, Rivals has him at 22. He was going for rebounds. He was on the floor going after loose balls. So a lot of stuff you don't see out of a top 25 ranked kid. Like the other ones we've talked about, he was playing tough. The thing that was a little bit frustrating is I felt like, and again, this is just one person's opinion, but he didn't get the ball enough from his teammates. So I felt like we really didn't get a chance to see what he could do because other guys were taking the ball to the basket. And I'll tell you, he set a few vicious picks and rolled the lane. It was wide open on the roll, and kids just didn't see him, or they would try to get the ball in a step late. But really, he showed a lot of heart and a lot of aggression and a team attitude. And I would have liked to have seen him get the ball a little more often.
You know what? That kid is extremely talented. And, you and I have talked a couple of times, on the phone and prior, to this podcast. He's talented. And it's too bad that he had a bad weekend, because sometimes these kids, these recruiting gurus, they'll punish a kid. Right now, you're right, he's ranked 22nd in the country and listed as the fourth best prospect. But depending upon who's watching him, I mean, he may drop. But to me, a sign of a good coach will understand and know everyone's not going to play good. Here's an example. I know we're talking high school and college. Look at Iowa's last game at the University of Illinois. I think he's scoring double figures every game of his career except for the last one. So if the NBA scouts judge him off one game, he'd never make it in the NBA. But I do know, I will tell you this, he's a soft-spoken kid. I like his build. He's different. And you look at Illinois right now, I don't know. The closest person they have on a roster that looks like that to me right now would be RJ Melendez and Austin Hutchinson, except for they're not as big muscular yet. But AJ is just a different body style, and I think he brings a different dimension to the table. I know when he was in Champaign 2 years ago, I forgot last year was COVID, 2 years ago, I met him and talked to him. And, at that time, I can honestly tell you, if I had to bet my house, I would have said he was going to Kansas. I don't feel that way anymore. I think now there's a breath of fresh air in Champaign. I think he's going to give them a good look. I think the coaching change may be a good thing from him, which is for a different show one day, I guess. But he will be a nice kid to have because he's long and athletic. And I think Brad Underwood could bring the best out of him because the talent is obviously there, guys.
Yeah. I wish Jalen Washington had been playing. Unfortunately, he was dealing with some sort of injury, so he didn't play that weekend. I would have loved to have got a chance to watch him as well. The other 2022 that I got a chance to watch was Danny Wolf of the Mac Irvin Fire. He has went from 6'7" to 6'10". He's lost 25 pounds and put on solid muscle. So the interesting thing about him is he's a 6'10 player, but when he gets in the open court, he sees the court much better than what you would see a normal, 6'10 kid. And he was actually leading the break a couple times. Made some nice passes. The biggest thing I saw from him is he's fairly unselfish. And there were times that he was maybe 4 feet from the basket that he would, you know, try a pass to somebody else. And I wanted to tell him, hey, you're the big 6'10 guy now, just take the ball up and score with it. But I think he recently got an offer from Minnesota. Yep. And again, he's going to be moving up the charts because he has got a man's body. That, you know, he is a big kid and has worked hard to get into shape. And I think, you know, there's going to be a team that'll be happy they got him.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. I mean, you know, and he's a Mac Urban Fire kid, which always I like to say bodes well for Illinois. I mean, at least it's been that way in the past, I guess. And also, now with the coaching change, I mean, I don't want to say this, it's a lock, and you guys know what I mean, but maybe there's a possibility that they could continue to get some of those Mac Urban Fire kids, and some of those kids could, you know, be a just a one-way ticket down the Champaign, I guess, if you will, because they're going to always have talent. They are. They're always going to have talent, and you guys are exactly right. He's a big kid, big body. And Illinois, at some point in time here, you know, we've listed, you know, a bunch of guards, but at some point in time here, they're going to have to start looking for the future for some of these bigs. And, you know, I know they're in on a bunch of them. They really are, and I feel confident that they're going to get some of these kids. But it would be nice to have Illinois lock up Chicago again. And I saw a thing on Twitter yesterday. It was kind of unique. I may post it tonight. I forget what year it was. They had a list of the top 50 recruits. And in that list, I think Ramil Robinson, who was at Michigan, was number two. But I think, who was it? Larry Smith, Malton, Illinois, was on there. Kendall Gill was on there. Nick Anderson. Those are all three kids from the state of Illinois that was in the top 50. It's been a long time since we've seen that, but it would be nice to get those kids to just say now, hey, it's okay. We got to go back to Illinois, because Illinois has done that. Connor mentioned earlier, you know, number one seed in the tournament, you know, all the accomplishments that Io had and Kofi. If the iron's hot right now, you know, and I don't want to see it cool out the way it did a couple, you know, years ago when Bruce Weber was there. So they're in on some good kids. I think whoever the next coach is going to be, like I mentioned earlier, he may be in on some of these same kids that we're talking about. And then if Chester is on them and if Jeff's on them, it just gives Illinois that much better of a chance to land some of these kids. If you think about it, like today, I think I saw on Twitter today, I think they broke ground for the remodeling of the Urban Complex. Illinois is, it's a great place right now. The facilities are great. You have a great coach, you know, a great coach. Fan base is great. You know, you win, they're going to support you. So I would really like to see them not lock up the state, because you're not going to get every kid, but the kids that you want and you have a good shot at, I want to see those kids give Illinois a hard look.
Well, we're looking at a couple. Let's go back down now and talk about a couple 2023s that were there that were impressive. I'm going to tell you right now, JJ Taylor, holy cow. This kid is smooth. He's out there shooting at the three. You know, the biggest challenge he had that I saw in the game was at times some of the smaller guards on his team apparently wanted to monopolize the ball a little bit, you know, because they knew coach, you know, they knew people were there to watch JJ. But when they went to JJ, he destroyed people with three-pointers that were 5 feet behind the arc. When they came out on him, he would go around them. And in the open court, oh, my Lord, he had a couple rim rattlers. And then the very interesting thing is there is not a more engaging, gregarious player. When he sits and talks to people, he's got an infectious smile. Mild mannered, you know, gets along well with the press and just people around. I got to tell you, that's a kid who's a lot like Io. He can be the face of the franchise. Connor, I know you've been a huge JJ fan. What are your thoughts on his game?
He is Kevin Durant ish. Like he is, that's really, when I first watched a clip of him, I was kind of surprised that he wasn't playing for Morgan Park the year Adam Miller was a senior. I mean, I can't think of any reason that would keep him off the court if I was a coach. And when you watch him, everything comes easy to him. he has that skill level that's just, you don't see it with many guys that are his size. And that his jumper is pure, and he's just one of those guys that he's an NBA player playing high school basketball right now is what he is. And I hope that he comes to Illinois for 1 year, because we're going to have, you know, NBA players in each class here. And we've shown that we can put people in the NBA. He's already an NBA player. If that rule goes where he can just forego college and just go directly to the draft, he will be drafted. But he's just a tough one to even really describe, because it's like they're really just, he catches the ball and he knows how to score. It's going
to be very many guys like him. I agree. And I'll tell you, what, and I've spent a long time since Illinois. I've looked at a kid from Kenwood. And I know fans don't want to hear this, but, you know, when you start to win and you start to make a name for yourself, I have to give the previous coaching staff credit, because they've offered some really good kids in the class of 23. They really have. And, like, if you go back and you look at some of these kids, and, like, you look at the crystal balls and you look at the forecast some of these people have, Illinois is a favorite right now, because they were the first offer. And that's how it should be in the state. You know what I'm saying to you? That's how it really and truly should be. Now Illinois just needs to keep that going. And to be able to keep a kid like that. Like I said, Kenwood's been a long time since they've had people like that. And I know you said you mentioned some other 23s, but I want to go back to one kid, if you guys don't mind. A kid that I really, really, really hope Illinois lands. I really hope they land Jaden Shue. I have to be honest with you. I have talked to 3 or 4 different recruiting gurus, and every one of them have said to me in different ways, he's an Illinois kid, you got to keep him. Michigan State's going to be the competition. But everybody say he is the best shooter the state of Illinois has had in 20, 30 years. I mean, I was hoping to go see him play this next month in June up in Chicago. You know, my thought process, because I want to go see, I know he's improved, and, you know, they were going to participate in this Riverside Brookfield Summer Shootout, but I guess COVID has this new rule where if you're 30 miles outside, you can't go. So I just, you know, I know we're talking about 23 kids, but this kid, and he's visiting Michigan State, and I know Illinois is trying to get him on campus, but the reason I brought him up is because he's another Illinois kid who's a difference maker. Like you guys mentioned, JJ, we have to keep these kids in state, because you're not going to get every one of them, but the top ones you have to keep.
Yeah. And I tell you what, even when you think about the Mac Irvin Fire, you know, some of their brightest stars, you know, they've got on their 15U team for 2024. James Brown was not at the tournament at the New York to LA Lone Star Invitational. He was at a prepping for a USA basketball tryout coming up this weekend, but he is spectacular. And there was another a 6'10" thinner forward there by the name of Jaden Smith. Do not sleep on this kid, because he was one of the most coachable kids out there. And as he's just growing into his body, you could see him using a little baby hook and some stuff like that. And at 6'10", he's thinner. I got to be honest with you. I had a little bit of a Ralph Sampson flashback, because he has that lean, thin, but in good shape and hustling type of thing. So they're in good shape. And I don't know if you've seen Brown or him. Have you seen either of them, Kedrick?
No, not some of the younger guys, only because of this COVID thing. But yep. My thing is right now, hopefully in the month of July, and actually June both, I want to get out. It's easier to see video footage, and it's also for games. I just like it better when, I hate to say this, when you're there in person, because you can hear things. You hear how a player reacts when a coach says something to him. Or I remember the first time I saw Io, I met his mom and dad. And I'm going to tell you, Nick was riding him, and Io never showed any emotion. Actually, the game that I saw him play was Cole Anthony. Is that the guy from North Carolina who was? I saw them go head-to-head, and I was talking to his dad, Greg, and my daughter was, she had no idea who he was. And even then, Greg Anthony was like, this kid, whoever that kid is right there, I mean, that kid's got, he's tough because this coach is riding him. And you see those things in person. I really, really like that. So I'm hoping the month of June and July, I can get out and see some of these kids again, because Illinois has offered so many kids. And obviously there's no room for all of them, but the high priority ones I really want to see. I really want to focus a lot on Michael and Fire this summer. For some reason, I think Illinois is going to start getting some more of those kids, in my personal opinion.
Yeah. Well, let's go over two more of the 23s, or let's go over three more, because there's one that you're going to want to talk about as well. But Gavin Sullivan and his mid-pro academy has, I'll tell you what, there was a team from New Orleans with a 6'10", 7-foot center who thought they're playing a team from Central Illinois and they were going to blow them out of the water. And they never ran it. I haven't seen a team that passes as well as Mid-Pro Academy. They played this team from New Orleans and it was 25-6 before the New Orleans team knew what happened. And in the game, I stopped counting backdoor lob dunk plays at seven. It was an amazing example of teamwork, good coaching, and players who are doing what their coach asked. They're headlined by 6'10" Owen Freeman, Bradley Bourbonnais. This kid has vision that you don't see out of a big. When he gets the ball in the post, he can get it to either corner for a 3-point. I saw him take it right back out. If he's in the right post, take it right back out to the right corner for a square three. He actually passes the ball right in the kid's shooting pocket. I also saw him turn around and snap a pass across the court into the other corner for a wide open three. His footwork playing against a kid who was, you know, you can at 6'10", he destroyed anybody who was shorter than him who came into the lane. I wanted to see how he would do against a bigger kid. The New Orleans team had a bigger kid at 6'10", and he looked taller. I mean, he looked like 7-foot. And Owen had superior fundamentals, particularly his footwork, and he just annihilated that kid too, even though the kid was bigger than him. That is a kid that I see going in the past before Underwood and company got here. That's the type of kid who would go to Wisconsin, Iowa, or Michigan State and just destroy us. And he's got better footwork though than three quarters of the Iowa team right now. One of the few times you will hear me say, I would offer the kid, and if he wanted to commit, I'd take it. Some people disagree with me because we are in the ability where we can recruit top 15 kids. But this kid, I think the sky's the limit for him. Also on his team was Ty Pence, a 6'6" shooter out of St. Joe. He was hitting threes from 4 or 5 feet behind the line. I think the biggest thing he's going to have to deal with is when you play basketball at St. Joe, you don't run into 6'6" athletes that can counter you. And now that he's on the AAU circuit, he's going to find kids who are just as big as him and maybe quicker. And we're going to see how he deals with that. Right. But boy, is he a heck of a player. And of course, the last one was Brock Harding, who is the point guard who I don't know that I had to like break down what he did, but he basically crossed a guy over and then did a kind of a reverse back step and did a behind the back pass to a guy underneath the basket that the man guarding him had no idea where the ball was. And then somebody in the lane had it and ended up shooting it. He'll have some challenges because he's not a big frame, and he's probably 5'10", but fundamentals are amazing on him. And he is like Curbelo. You got to pay attention because he's going to invent a new type of pass. So three impressive players from Mid-Pro Academy. And if you're not prepared to play against that team, they're going to light you up, and it doesn't matter what city you come from. Kedrick, what do you think of that team?
Well, let's start with Owen. I actually had a chance to talk to him yesterday. You're right. Just well-spoken kid, very intelligent. You could tell how bright he is in his understanding of the game. He was offered a scholarship last year. And I said to him, I'm like, nobody really knew that. He's like, yeah, I tweeted it, but nobody really cared at the time. And I said, do you know how good you are? He was like, no, and I don't need you to tell me that. He's so soft-spoken, but you're right. He has an offer. I believe he's visiting June 2nd. He's coming next week to Illinois. He's supposed to make a visit, from my understanding. And you're right. He's a kid that kind of flew radar. And when you made the comment about a kid going to Iowa and Wisconsin to come back to haunt us, that's what I thought. That's the first thing I thought about. I think the same thing with Jaden Shute. But you're right. He's the kid that's going to probably pick up some more offers here real soon. You know, I actually, you know, was going to tweet out the fact that he was going to go visit. Didn't want to do that because I know how important that he is to Illinois to get down there to go see him, because he's a perfect fit for Matt Underwood. I mean, for the fans who really want to know what kind of system Brad Underwood wants, he wants every kid on his roster can shoot. That's a priority. The other thing is you have to defend. Look at every kid on that roster right now that's down there. Tell me one kid that, other than, I guess, Omar, but even he can shoot a 15-foot shot. Tell me a kid on that roster right now that can't shoot. And obviously, Carbell's improving it. You have to do that, and that's what he's looking for. He's looking for guys that can step out and make shots, and Owen, he gives them that. You talk about Ty Pence from St. Joe's, you're exactly right. I don't want to say he's not athletic enough. I mean, I know he has an offer from Western Illinois, and that was compliments, you know, to the Urbans, because I think they offer all the top players in the state as well. But for right now, for him, I think I don't want to say defense is going to be the reason he don't play at the next level, but that could be part of. And also, him being able to go out and show what he can do against some of the top competition is going to help him. Now, the Harding kid, he's different for me because I know his size is going to be an issue. And when you made the comment, Mike, I'm really impressed because tonight you and I, our brains are like on the same wavelength tonight. I've told people he was an Andre Cabello to begin with. He has some talent to where he can do things. And if you look at his passing, things that he can do with the basketball, and he can shoot it, but his size over bigger guards is going to be tough, but he can get to the rim. And the thing that I don't want people to do with him is to sleep on his size, because if you got a guy like Cabello, because Andre Cabello is not 6'1". Sorry, he's just not. And Harding isn't slow. So I think the jury's still out on him. I know the last staff was really, really interested in him. I can't tell you what the new staff is thinking about him right now. But the team overall is a team that's generally made up of Illinois kids that could go out and compete. And Illinois is going to look at all three of those kids at some point in time. You know, like I said to you, Freeman's going to go make a visit. Harding's thing, again, is because he's smaller. Pence's thing is if he can defend on the perimeter and guard guards. That's going to be a big key for him, because if you can't, at 6'6", guard guards, it's going to be tough for you to play for Illinois, at least. I don't want to say in the Big Ten, but for Illinois. So, there's still time for the 23 kids. You know, I want to, again, get out this summer so I can see some of these kids play, but I wouldn't be surprised if Illinois is trying to push a commitment from Owen. I mean, I would not be surprised about that. And I think he's thinking that too this week, and the next week, you know, when he makes his visit.
Yeah, he'll be there. Owen will be there on the 5th for an unofficial, and Ty Pence will be there on the 2nd for an unofficial. So, you know, two talented kids. And really, you know, as we went, I just wanted to kind of go through some recruits that I saw this weekend that could be on Illinois' radar in some way, shape, or form. A lot of fantastic talent there. And obviously the Illini coaches are working on a list much bigger than what we have. Connor will have a story coming out in the next day or so talking about the overall point guard picture. You'll definitely want to be taking a look at that. And of course, for those folks who are out there, just a little plug, you know, whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, whether you're halfway across the United States or halfway across the world, IlliniGuys.com is the only one who can keep you in the know. We have people like Brad Sturdy and, of course, Kedrick Prince, who are able to tell us what's going on because they hear, see, smell every clue out there. And somehow, if something's going on with Illini basketball or Illini football, somehow they find out and they're around it. So that's a great thing. Ked, any other recruits that you want to talk about before we close down tonight?
Yeah, I do. I want to throw a couple names out there for people, a couple more guards that I think people should be aware of that Illinois is recruiting. Jaden Epps is another guard. He's a 6-point point guard. He's a 4-star recruit. I can tell you when Chester was at Virginia Tech, he led for him. He's a kid that I know for a fact that Illinois is pursuing very, very hard as well. Extremely talented guard that can do it all, and a kid that can shoot the heck out of it. Another one is a 6-foot guard from South Carolina. I'm sure you guys have heard about his name. It's Jazian, known as Jay Gortman. He's another kid who is a 5-star. He's a stud. I mean, just flat out, like you guys mentioned earlier with Black, this kid can get after it. So Illinois, and these are kids that if they committed, they will take these offers from these kids right away because they're looking at trying to land some of these kids that are top-notch recruits. And we mentioned it before, you know, Matty Terori is a 6'11 kid. I still think, you know, when people look at him and they see 3-star, but look at his list, Auburn, Florida, Kansas, Pittsburgh, Arizona, LSU, Tennessee, he's a 3-star kid. And if you talk to the coaching staff, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I think they have a good shot at him. So there's a lot of kids out there. The recruiting is never going to stop. That's the fun thing about college athletics. It never stops. And, you know, as soon as one class is gone, another one comes up.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback here on you talking about Jay Gortman. And while I think Anthony Black and Trimble would be fantastic gets, if we end up with any of these guards, you're going to be excited about Illinois basketball. But Gortman, that is my personal favorite. And when I watch this kid play, I mean, this dude is talking all game. He is talking trash the entire game. He's communicating with his teammates. He is just he's playing the whole time. And that's part of his game, is to be in the other team's face. And he'll guard you court. He'll guard you sideline to sideline. As soon as a bucket's in the hoop, he's chasing the other point guard to make sure you can't get a good inbounds pass.
Who does that remind you of? It reminds you of Chester Frazier. Because that's what it's like. And those are the kind of kids that he's going to recruit. Sorry, Connor. We'll throw that in there.
No, that's another part, is that mentality is just, I feel like that's something that also is going to resonate with him and the staff. And I think that's something that they can build on, is because he is that competitive and he just wants to win. And when you have guys that feel that way, you know that they're going to get along with Brad Underwood. And that's a key to getting the ball moving with these recruits, is having that relationship. And this is a kid that he's got some traits that are Andre Curbelo and kind of Io in transition, where he has such long strides and he's just such a good ball handler that he gets around people, and you're kind of like, he's not that much bigger than them and he's not that much faster, but he somehow gets there every time. And when I watched him, there's some sites that still had him 70 ish.
This too low,
way too low. And he is just, he's my personal favorite, and I really hope Illinois gets him.
Well, I'll tell you what, if he's a trash talker, I don't know if you guys saw the article. They do an article every year about the best defensive player. They talk to the kids and the best trash talkers. Do you know who the top 2 trash talkers in the Big Ten were this year?
Trent Frazier and Io.
That a boy, Connor. That's it. It was them. They did it all the time. And Trent said Io would do it even if they were losing. It didn't matter to him. They did it to every team that they played. And it was slick about doing it, because unless you were there, you, it's hard to see it on TV all the time, but yes, they were the kings of it.
And I will tell you, Anthony Black is the same way. And the funny thing is, when they beat the Fire the first night of the tournament at the New York to LA Lone Star Invitational, what he would do, and the Fire fans were really angry, and I was sitting in the midst of them, and they're like, he's getting every call. And I told him, I said, watch what he does between plays. And Anthony would walk up to a referee and he'd hold his arm up and he'd show the little handprint on his arm. And then he would just laugh with the referee, like, that didn't stop me. And then the next time that he took the ball and there was a slap, boom, the Fire got a foul, and the parents would just go crazy. And then he would get in people's face if he thought that was the thing to do. He was like, not on top of being the best player on the court that weekend, he was the most entertaining player too. So I don't know, maybe we can get 3-point guards and just run, pretend like we're Baylor and have 3 lead guards out there and win us a national title. I'm all for that too.
No kidding.
So Ked, you got anything before we wrap up here?
No, thanks for having me, guys. I mean, I really enjoyed this. This is good stuff, good information. The unique thing about it, we all see different things, and I like the different ideas that we have, and you know, and your insights, what you guys look for as far as players and things that I look for that maybe Brad or Division I coaches don't see. I think that's unique, and I think that brings a different perspective for fans who are listening to this. It's always nice to have more than one opinion on things.
Yep. Connor, anything before we head out?
Totally agree with what you say. I always look forward to hearing your opinion as well.
So, folks, that's it for the Eye on the Illini here. Next week, we're going to have another Illini legend from the 80s on. Obviously, we just saw Bruce Douglas. We're working on another one. Not going to tip my hand right now, but just trust me, it'll be fun. So with that, again, I'm going to go back with the tagline. Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, whether you live halfway across the United States or halfway across the world, the only way to stay in the know with the Illini is IlliniGuys.com. Thanks, everybody.